candidates hoping to fill District 5 city council seat left vacant by the sad and recent passing of Councilwoman Gwen Henderson. With early voting kicking off September 4th and Election Day September 9th, now is the time to hear what these candidates have to say and make your educated decision. Because of the large number of candidates, we've split this up, and now we had seven candidates before. We've got five candidates in front of us right now. Senior reporters Mitch Perry from the Florida Phoenix, who you know also from The Skinny, and Ray Roa from Creative Loafing will be asking the candidates the questions. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond, and our fantastic timer will be Jason Marlowe, my co-host from Down and Dirty. If any candidate's name is invoked in a response, I'll give that candidate 15 seconds to respond or rebut. I'm sorry, we're not going to take phone calls today due to the large number of candidates and the many questions that we have. In the unlikely event we have extra time, we'll finish up with a 30-second closing argument. Okay, let's start with a one-minute opening statement from each one of the candidates. They are lined up alphabetically, and I'm going to start by their first name, and I'm going to start with Jose Vasquez.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jose Vasquez. I'm the write-in candidate on this race. Like you already know, after Councilwoman passed away, we got a group of leaders who got big concern on the way the city of Tampa got to move forward, and that's the reason you got this historic race with 13, 14 candidates. I want the people to understand I'm here to deliver a message, and if I get your support, I appreciate. Just remember, Jose Vasquez, write-in candidate on this District 5 race.
Thank you, Mr. Vasquez. And Juana Colbert.
Colbert. Yes, close enough.
I wanted to make it French.
Colbert. I know, Colbert. That sounds exotic. But good morning, everyone. My name is Joanna Colbert, and I am a resident of East Tampa. My office is in Ybor. I have been engaged and a part of the community since 2017. My background is in economic development. I've helped create thousands of jobs in every community that I have lived in. I have been very active in affordable housing. I am on the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee. I've been a part of various boards, YMCA, Pace Center for Girls. I am all about our community, and I'm ready to sit in the seat to give back and represent us to the fullest. Joanna Colbert, website joannaforcouncil.com.
Thank you, Ms. Colbert. Next up, Naya Young.
Good morning, everyone. I have to say, this feels very nostalgic because I actually used to be in that studio right over there. So I'm so happy to be here. Naya Young, my background is in nonprofit management. I worked in nonprofit for the past 7 years where we provide free programming and resources to children and families. And I'm running for District 5 because I want to be an advocate. My husband and I are Tampa Heights residents. I've grew up in Tampa Heights, and I'm just excited to be an advocate and to be a voice to make sure that we have all the needs addressed in District 5 that our constituents are speaking with us.
Thank you, Ms. Young. Tom DeGeorge, you're up.
Hello, thank you for having me here. Super excited to be here to talk to y'all. My name is Tom DeGeorge. You can go to degeorgefortampa.com to see my full platform. I've been part of Tampa since I moved here in 2001. I've been a part of District 5 that entire time as a resident and then later as a homeowner. I've also been a local business owner. I've been involved in local advocacy and community work literally the entire time I've been here. And I've also worked on policy on the state and the federal level. I'm running because I care very much about our city and our communities. And I feel like we need somebody at the table that understands the problems of the majority of the people that live in the city that are struggling.
And I should have a full disclosure here that Tom DeGeorge was my boss for perhaps a year and a half when I was a security guard.
Ray Rowe is the worst security guard ever in the history of the universe.
I
go on record. I will never hire Ray Rowe as a security guard ever again. But he's a great young man.
Ray Rowe is a bouncer.
He was not meant to be a security guard, but he's a good man. I kept him in charge of a door.
And next
watch a door most of the
time. Too nice to be a bouncer.
We have Tom Scott here.
Thank you. Thank you to our listening audience and the opportunity to be able to share with you this morning. Listen, my name is Thomas Scott. I've lived in Jackson Heights 45 years. I pastored the 34th Street for 45 years. I built the new church, built the school, built the CDC, ran for public office in 1996. I served 10 years on the county commission, served 3 times as chairman, elected by my peers and colleagues as chairman of the Board of County Commission. Then I went 2007 to 2011 to city council, where I served 4 years and 3 terms as chairman on Tampa City Council. So I have a proven record of leadership, of experience already in terms of affordable housing, in terms of economic development. Of the 8 CRAs, I voted for 7 of them, and I drew the largest CRA for East Tampa in the state of Florida, which relies over $200 million in the life of that CRA to bring about economic development, housing, affordable housing, and many other amenities that East Tampa need.
Thank you, Tom Scott. Okay, we will jump to our first question, and Mitch Perry with the Florida Phoenix has it. It will go to start with Joanna Colbert.
Thank you, John. And we'll do some new questions here and maybe some old from the last hour. So a new question here. The city of Tampa is currently holding meetings in Sulphur Springs to develop an action plan for that part of the city. If there was one thing that you could say should be funded in that program, what would it be? What would you do to make sure to talk about improving Sulphur Springs to make it more than lip service right now?
Joanna Colbert, thank you for that question. I was actually at one of the meetings a couple days ago, and that was a very informative meeting. I will tell you that some of the frustration from that, because I talked to residents over there, they want to see movement. They want to see solutions. They don't want to meet. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. And one of the things I would definitely like to see is more youth programs in that area, in addition to jobs. Jobs is essential in order for our economy to move forward. So I would say jobs and youth programs. Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Colbert. Nia Young.
So I actually did some work in Sulphur Springs not too long ago, and there's a few things. One, we know for sure Sulphur Springs is a food desert. We need if it's not a grocery store, a reliable farmer's market. There's a gentleman over there, his name is Charlie Adams, who is working tirelessly, very hard to get some funding for at least a farmer's market in that area. There's been some movement with the pool, which I know was a very, very big issue. There are your pools and your community center provide spaces for your youth and your children to go. So definitely more emphasis just on the programs and not just for our younger students, because there's a lot of older kids, our teenagers up to like age 25, you know, even 29, that need and want places to go, need things to do, need opportunities. So continuing to push for those type of resources. And then also just beautification in the area. I did some talking with the, you know, elementary kids, and they just want some flowers. They want it to be pretty where they live. So those are some of the things that I would say.
So Ms. Young, all I have to say is I go to the healthy restaurants right up there in Sulphur Springs, Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's.
Oh, gosh. those are healthy.
Tom DeGeorge, same question.
Sulphur Springs does have a food desert situation. I believe we need to add support so we can replace some of those Kentucky Fried Chickens with some local grocers. We need to get smaller development in there, mixed with infrastructure that creates better sidewalk, better streetlights. I also think, with my arts background, I would like to help improve some of the recreation they have out there to give Sulphur Springs more of the identity that their communities deserve out there, so they can, you know, when you add things like fixing that pool or add value in those parks for entertainment, Rock the Park doesn't just have to happen downtown. You know, these areas, when you bring in arts to an area, it builds that community up, and it helps with public safety. That brightness can really revive area, and I feel like Sulphur Springs has been forgotten for way too long.
Thank you, Tom DeGeorge. Tom Scott.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to put a lot of money into Sulphur Springs when I was on the county commission. Stepping Stone program, as you go over there, you know, the county own a lot of buildings and that sort of thing. So, and I spent work days over there in Sulphur Springs. I would say, also, by the way, there's money in the budget this year for Sulphur Springs, by the way. So I need to mention that. And I had the opportunity to ride around just the whole area. When you look at it, it's still a transient kind of community that you need stability there, you need jobs there, you need affordable housing there. I mean, you really need just the whole works, you know. Unfortunately, I think we're seeing the end of CRAs, you know, and because the state legislature is trying to, in fact, they tried this past session, tried to do away with CRAs. They didn't quite make it. But my guess is CRAs are going to be a history and not too long. But Sulphur Springs need a lot of work, a lot of love, a lot of care, a lot of support. And I'm glad to see that they are included in the budget for this budget cycle.
Thank you, Tom Scott. And last on this question, Jose Vasquez.
Well, thank you for the question. It's easy to say all these beautiful things, but the truth is when you are a resident like I was, I can tell you the truth about the community. The first thing we need to do is support, enlarge the rich program over there, the Tampa Police. We need to make the area secure, open the parks. You know, our kids want to go over there and play, but they can't be over there because they kick them out at 6 o'clock. And I can give you all so many things. Who wanted to invest a business in a neighborhood where it's targeted with crime, prostitution, and drugs? We need to erase that bad name. We need to promote the area and the way it's supposed to be back on the 50s. I can tell you, the community wanted to work. But if co-enforcement do not back off, if the people who want to really invest money on that community, they not put a lot of thoughts, hey, we can have a wonderful community. We need to come back to the roots of the Harbor Club, the Spring Theater. Hey, we got a beautiful park over there. Let's put a fishing spot over there. That's what we need to do. Come back to the bases.
All right. Thank you, Jose Vasquez. Next question, Ray Roa.
Yeah, we'll bring this question back that was here from the first one. District 5 has always had a black council person. There are 3 white candidates that officially made the ballot. The question is 4. Well, we have a write-in. So, four. Yes, I'm sorry. Do you think that talking about race in the context of this race is a distraction? Additionally, it's a two-part question. For the black candidates, how would you feel if a white person took this seat? And for the non-black candidates, your very candidacy means that you believe this seat can be held by someone who is not black. Can you explain how you weighed the decision to run and why you ultimately decided to enter the race?
Okay, Nia Young gets the honor of answering that one first.
Well, I do think that it's important to acknowledge it. And I think representation is important. I think about just myself in general working with kids. And when I told them, you know, that I was running for city council, and they go, really? You're running for city council? And so I think representation is important. I think having people with different perspectives, with different experiences, different lived experiences is important for the conversation, especially when you're having tough conversations, because you're able to bring everybody together that to come to a decision specifically to make sure that we're addressing the needs of District 5. I do think it is important. I don't think it's a distraction. I think it's important that we do acknowledge that and that it is important to have that representation. If someone other than someone that is African-American is elected to the seat, we would hope that is somebody that is really in it, you know, that is in it to make sure that the needs of District 5 are addressed and that they have the heart to do the job.
Thank you, Ms. Young. Tom DeGeorge, searching for a microphone.
So, yes, I feel like the issue is obviously important. District 5 is extremely diverse, and there's a large demographic of black and brown people. And so I'm completely sensitive to that as a white person entering this race. If I wasn't sensitive to it, that would be just, you know, not empathetic to the fact that there's going to be trust there, right? So it's my job to build that trust. And that's what I'm trying to do by going out, talking to the communities. You know, if you look at the work I've done in Ybor City and the work I did for Crowbar, we've hosted thousands of local, regional, national acts that are all different types of things, from black artists to brown artists to trans artists to gay artists. And that means our fan base, our customers, are very diverse as well. Many of those people live in District 5. And Crowbar has really been a melting pot for those entire communities. And when I talk to all those people, I realize that we're a lot more similar than people think. When I ask them if you're struggling or you know somebody's struggling, they're all struggling, and that's what I want to represent. I hope I can build that trust.
Thank you, Tom DeGeorge. Tom Scott.
Diversity is very important in particular when we look at where we are today in terms of race and race relations. Diversity is very important. We need not fool ourselves, number one. Number two, prior to 1980, there was not an African-American on city council, county commission, and I think A. Leon Lahr was on the school board. There was a lawsuit filed that agreed to have one slot for African-Americans. Since then, 1980, Perry Hart was the first person to sit on that seat. Since then, we have always had an African-American in that seat. If no African-American win this particular election, that means that we will have a majority Caucasian board of city council. Now, let me also say there are already three representatives that represent District 5 that are white or that are Caucasian at large. Okay, I believe it's important to have a person of color in a single-member district that will represent the constituency of East Tampa and District 5.
Thank you, Tom Scott. Jose Vasquez.
First of all, I appreciate the question, but the first thing we need to do is educate the community. This is not a black district no more. This is, I want to use the word, Afro-American district, okay? Black is a color. Afro-American is a person. Now, the history teach me, because I live in the district, this is a melting pot. Everybody who is being rejected for the other six districts of the city of Tampa finish in District 5 because this is the more affordable place for they can live. Now, I'm not talking about white, brown, yellow, purple. Hey, I'm Hispanic. Yo hablo dos idiomas. The point is, right now, we need to bring new leadership. I hope the leadership continue on the Afro-American community. But on the last election, we see the vote support. We got 39,000 people who not get one vote for these leaders. And that's the reason I'm in this race as a grinding candidate. I wanted more people get involved because if the mayor see that number increase, whatever we promote, they go to approve it.
Thank you, Jose. And last on this question, Joanna Colbert.
Race is not a distraction. This conversation, to me, should not be looked at as a distraction. It should be looked at as a necessary conversation. We are in a time, unfortunately, it's our community who have made it like this. That has always been one black seat, and that is unfortunate on us. And I think we have to speak up for our community to make sure we don't continue to go down that path of saying, oh, we only get one black seat on city council. Oh, we only get one black seat on county commissioner. Oh, we only get one black seat on the school board. We have to stop that. So it is a very important conversation. Do I think any of these people, no matter the color or their nationality, would do a good job? The answer is yes. But that's not the situation that we are in. And I think it's essential that we face it and that we address it and that we have to have someone that represents in that seat our whole community. City council has to represent our whole community. So that means it has to be diverse.
I'm not going to give commentary on this or my opinion, but I will say as a matter of history that Gwen Miller served 8 years citywide. I believe after she's the only person of color that served citywide.
Right.
Okay. Who's up, Mitch?
Yeah. One of the challenges for local government officials is when state lawmakers take away home rule. It's something called preemption. Is there any particular preemption the Florida legislature has enacted that you feel has really hurt the city of Tampa or other local communities? And I guess we'll start with Tom DeGeorge.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not familiar with that. I think, you know, when you're looking at the city council seat, our role as city council is to solve problems, and I'm not familiar with this subject. But what I also know is when we did the Save Our Stages advocacy, I had no idea what I was doing. And within a day, I learned how to be an advocate, and we got $900 million for the state of Florida that saved hundreds of businesses and also helped many, many, many communities. So at the core, city council is there to advocate, solve problems, learn what they are quickly, and get the job done. So that's what I plan to do, and I'll have a better answer for you. Thank you.
Tom DeGeorge, thanks for your candor. One of the hardest things to do as a candidate is to admit when you don't know the answer, but you'll find out. Tom Scott.
Home rule was or used to be the issue. It is really no longer that. We must face now that the federal government and in particular our state government coming in and taking control and changing a lot of the laws and programs where it used to be home rule. Going back again, you know, the home rule used to could put things on the ballot. Now they have changed a lot of that. Mail-in ballots. I mean, that just got changed. You know, you now have to sign up every year to get a mail-in ballot. So, and as you very well know, they just recently changed, was it this year, a couple of years ago, maybe now, the whole, the review board by the police. So a lot of things have changed, moving up, taken away from whole rule. So, yes. The home rule is pretty much out the door, and the state now kind of controls and tells cities and counties what they can and what they cannot do. A good example is these audits that's going on.
Thank you, Tom Scott. Ray or Mitch, will you repeat that question?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a complex question.
Yeah, it is. So to Jose, next question, and come back to you. So again, one of the challenges that local government officials like yourself, if you're elected, are going to deal with is the situation of home rule. Preemption, where basically the state lawmakers take away laws that the city of Tampa have passed.
Right.
Do you recall any that have happened that they've done that have taken away from the city of Tampa that have really hurt the city or other cities in the state at all?
Well, thank you for the question. I don't go to allocate too much, but I can tell you what more hurt me as a taxpayer is when we are put as some penny taxes on the transportation and the government coming quickly wipe it out all these millions of dollars and hiding the millions of dollars and later they come with a solution like, okay, whatever, who got evidence of the how much money tax you pay, we refund it to you. Come on, I pay more than $125. The truth is, it's ridiculous on the way the state tried to control the local decisions. We got a Mooney code. Every elected official on that body followed that instruction. So this is not about we do a corruption deals or do misunderstanding situations, and they need to take over. That's a chain of the state of Florida doing this. And at the federal government, it's so sad to say, I cannot control nothing where the elected president was. And that's the reason I'm in this race. We need more people get out and vote for the next city council.
Well, thank you, Jose Vasquez. And now Joanna Colbert.
Yes, thank you. That would be something I would have to do a little bit more research on. But one of the things I think that comes to mind, and I don't know if it's related to this, but it's on my heart and it makes sense to me. Average wages. That's another thing. I think jobs and average wages should not be set by the state. We have local requirements and what's needed in order for us to live. So I think that's something we definitely probably could and should look at in the future. And then definitely the police board, the review board, I think is essential example of that I would want us to relook at and come up with some sort of hybrid or opportunity where we could have community oversight.
Thank you, Ms. Colbert. And last one on this question, Nia Young.
So I think if I hear the question correctly, there was asking what laws we are dealing with right now. Correct? That's correct.
Yeah, like what kind of preemption has hurt the city the most and these local communities?
Well, I echo sentiments of everyone else, but also I do believe there's now with the crosswalks, I believe it was also just passed. And so, and when you think about, you know, there was just an article that just came out that Florida, I think we're in the top 10 of the worst traffic. And so we know that crosswalks, while, you know, small, but they have art on them, they actually help to save lives because they, you know, it brings attention and awareness to this place to where someone is crossing the street, right? So when we think about traffic, we're talking about better, you know, we're talking about transit. Also, you know, talking about art and the importance of art and what art can do, not just, you know, in communities, but also to help save lives. That's just one of the things, in addition to the mail-in ballots, in addition to, you know, the community review board. So those are things that we're actively dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nia Young. Mm-hmm. My two cents on that is some of them are totally silly, like straws.
Sunscreen
too, but
plastic bags.
If you can't hear Jason,
keep their port open.
But and then we had a very, very strong tree protection ordinance, and basically Tallahassee eviscerated that too. Okay, Ray, you want to give a recap to the audience?
Yeah, we want to remind everybody you're listening to WMNF Tampa right now. Down and Dirty and the Skinny have combined for a two-hour candidate forum featuring all but two, of the candidates that you will consider in the race for Tampa City Council's District 5. It is a special election happening after the passing of Gwen Henderson. And we have the second group of candidates here today. Jose Vasquez Figueroa is here. Juana Colbert is here. Naya Young is here. So is Thomas DeGeorge Jr. and Thomas Scott. They're all here today. We're going to get to the next question here. You're not going to get a chance to chime in on this mayor's budget, but can you specifically say what you see in the FY26 proposal that's a good idea, and maybe mention some things that you would definitely ask the administration to reconsider?
Let's see where we're at. Tom Scott.
Yes, sir.
You want me to repeat the question?
Yes. Bishop Scott, you're not going to get a chance to chime in on this budget, but when you look at FY26, this proposal from the administration, it's in council's hands now. What do you like in that budget, and what are some things that you definitely kind of come back to the workshop and say, hey, this has got to get tweaked, guys?
Well, first of all, as you stated, no one will have input into this
budget.
That's
correct.
Pretty much it'll be a set budget. By state law, it has to be passed and enacted by October 1st. That's number one. Number two is there are some things that are there. Again, I like the idea of Sulphur Spring being able to get funding. Also, there's some money also in there for the new Fair Oaks project. If you have not seen, that's a great project, beautiful project. There is some money in there for that. And by and large, of course, you know, a lot of the budget is public safety. As well, I think we have new contracts for both fire rescue and the police have new contracts, and I think they got 5% increase. So you have those items that are there. However, I believe that now we need to be reviewing, at least I've been reviewing the budget, looking at the budget, seeing what's there, where those dollars are going, look at where can I, once I'm there, to be able to change some of that.
Thank you, Tom Scott. Bouncing over to Jose Vasquez.
Well, yeah, it's true. We cannot have a say-so on this year's budget, and that's the reason I'm running as a grinding candidate, because my mayor goal got to be to support the other six city councilmen and find out why all the budgets can be approved for so many years and this money be allocated, why the community not got the service we promised to them. We need to move forward. Whatever is ready, approve it. Now, what I can tell you is my priority for the next one is support our first responders. You know, when the people say first responder, well, first responder is police, fire, rescue, all these employees who had to respond to emergencies, water breaking, electricity down, et cetera, et cetera. So it's very important. Can we need keep that on the budget? And of course, whatever is approved, move forward. Find out why they stuck the money. That's going to be my focus on that. You know.
Thank you, Jose Vasquez. Juana Colbert.
Thank you. Anything to do in the budget with safety. Safety is a priority for me and for our community. And that's included fire. It's really police. It's first responders. But even let's think a little bit further. It's the seawall in Palmetto Beach. That is essential. That is safety, especially with us being prone to hurricanes. It's very important that we look at that. And then what's also in the budget I think is good is anything to do with housing, affordable housing, anything to do with for the greater good of the community is what is important to me. And even more important is actually getting it done, executing it. It's in the budget, but is it being completed? And that's really what's important to me.
Thank you, Ms. Colbert. Naya Young.
So there's one of the items that in the budget that I would want to just see more I want to kind of see what exactly we go towards would be the public safety. I know public safety is important. However, I think about, you know, compared to how much money we're putting to our parks, which is where our youth are going to, which is where, you know, places that our youth and our communities go to. And, you know, if you think about, like, in Baltimore, the mayor put more money into the youth, into the programs, and crime actually went down. And so what can happen if you look at it at a different, in a different perspective? Yes, public safety is important, but if we're talking about, you know, our kids are in the street, or our youth, not just kids, or our youth in general are in the street, maybe if we look at a different way and we invest in youth, we might actually see a difference in those crime numbers. Also, I think, you know, investing in the parks, also continuing the fare free for Route 1. I think that's so important. Ridership actually increased with the fare free. And so continuing that, obviously, we see that it's working. And any city that's growing has to have great transit.
Thank you, Ms. Young. You just beat the buzzer. Tom DeGeorge, about the budget.
I agree. It's, you know, public safety is important. The parks are important. Supporting local businesses, making sure there's money there to lift those up. So we're enhancing our communities instead of reshaping them. And we're keeping the culture there and, you know, better sidewalks, stormwater drain issues with the hurricanes. But, and I hate to, I know we talk about trying to keep our answers original, but I do think it really comes down to being a watchdog on these things. And, you know, the budget's going to be decided. So, you know, you could say public safety, but how are we going to spend that money? You know, it's, where are we going to put it? Are we going to put it in better programs to teach police officers how to do their jobs better for these diverse communities in our areas? Are we going to put it into youth programs that give other options for our kids so they can be successful? It's paying attention and advocating for the best use of it.
Thank you, Mr. DeGeorge. Who's up next? Mitch.
Yeah, it's Mitch Perry here. So the last one, okay, the last question was a little challenging, so we'll make this more fun, okay? So let's say over the last 15 years, what's the best, and if you want to include in your answer, what's the worst new development that's been built in Tampa?
And we'll reframe it for the radio just to keep it clean. Instead of best, like, what is your favorite, perhaps?
Best and, or favorite or worst.
There's been a lot of new developments.
Favorite, worst, so development, best development.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We're going to work backwards. Naya, you will start this question. Grab that microphone.
Let's see. Best and worst development. Well,
hold on 1 second. What do you mean by development?
I mean project. You know, the city's different. It looks different than it did a decade ago.
Okay.
Right? So what do you, when you go by the city, you go like, oh, God, that wasn't here a few years ago. I really love that. Or I don't like
a building,
that.
A development, yeah. a project,
you know, something, park, anything.
Yeah.
Let's see. So I would say, well, I live in Tampa Heights. And so I'm close to the Armature Works area. And so I would say Armature Works, I think, is an awesome space, in use of space, community space. People, there's not a time you go out there and there's, you know, no one that is out there. So it's definitely being used. I would also say, I just recently went to see some affordable housing that is going to be right near East Tampa, and but between that East Tampa and Ybor, and it's like 10 affordable housing units. And I met the gentleman, and they're, you know, very intentional about wanting to do something good for the community. Worst one?
Least favorite.
Least favorite.
Keep us clean
favorite
on the radio.
Come on, you can do it. You only got 10 seconds.
You know, I would just want us, I would like us to rethink our luxury townhome spaces to make sure that we are including everybody in District 5.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Joanna Colbert, you're up next.
I don't like this question, you guys. Just
sorry
to be clear. That's my. Am I allowed to do a disclaimer as well?
I mean, you could always defer. That's
okay.
Always an option.
No.
You do a little real estate, right?
I'm not going to defer it. I would probably say one of my favorites, if I had to only choose one, since you're making me, I would probably say the Riverwalk. Because number one, I utilize that, and I think it's great for families. I think you see art alongside that. I think it incorporates water, housing, community. I just really like the development of Riverwalk. And then my least favorite would probably be anything to do with parking garages. I don't know. I think parking is necessary, but that's probably my least favorite, but I know it's a necessary evil.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Colbert. Jose Vasquez.
Well, I can tell you, based on my experience, because I'm working and live and helping inside the district, it was the expansion of the food pantry. You know, of the people not having knowledge, feeding Tampa Bay is in front of the Tampa port. So this is inside our district. So, you know, we have a better facility for receive more goods and better processing. You know, that's very important for the families on need on the whole county, too. You know, so this is not only cover the city of Tampa. I can tell you the only back coordinate program I see on the city of Tampa is the Tampa Initiative about the homeless. The whole program is shame in the way the mayor gave that program to one entity to run this fiasco. You know, I cannot put in my house a tent in the backyard, but they can put a tent full with homeless people over there. So it's shame in the way they started that whole program.
All right. Thank you, Jose Vasquez. Tom Scott, same question.
Yeah, I have more than one. I mean, come on. Let's look at Channel Side River. I mean, the development that's there when a few years ago wasn't nothing there. And we created a CRA, and now you got thousands of residents that live there. And now they do lack green space, but it's... I go by the occasion during the night just to see the people out walking their dogs, having fun. The other night, they had a lot of music outside, you know, playing, just enjoying themselves. So that's a good place, along with the Riverwalk and amateur work. So the West River, when we look over there, what used to be there, and now is very nice. So I would say that. And then I think the worst probably I'll say the parking garage downtown, right there by where we used to park. John and I used to be on city council together.
All right. Tom DeGeorge.
Okay, so I'm going to say it like this, and I wish I had more time to answer this because a minute's really hard because I have a lot of feelings on the subject, but I would say my favorite large development is Water Street. I feel like we took an area downtown that wasn't used at all, and we built it up. It affected nobody other than to create tons of jobs. It utilized our downtown. It put our downtown on the map. My least favorite large development is I have a lot of concerns with what's happening in my home in Ybor City. You know, I worry about when a developer comes into an area, culture being erased. People being priced out, anything that doesn't truly support local business or the people around there to be able to afford to stay in their area. It's a view of the same things that happens in smaller neighborhoods that for years desperately need help. And then when they finally get the help, they're not even there to appreciate it. They get forced out. So going forward, I'd like to see more developments that support under $1 million. I'd like to see the Jackson House revitalized. I'd like to put some teeth on that. I'll be a strong advocate for it. I want the Perry Harvey Senior Bandshell. I want to use my resources to get that up and running and have local artists in that neighborhood. I want the pool in Sulphur Springs and anything that supports those marginalized neighborhoods.
All right. Thank you, Tom DeGeorge. Maya, you started on that question,
that's
didn't
right.
you, or no?
That's right.
Okay,
so that's right.
we've made the loop on that one.
Well, John Dingfelder is the ringmaster of the order, but I want to ask you this question, Tom DeGeorge. You kind of hit on this. Across Tampa, families that have been in their neighborhoods for generations, businesses that have been there for generations, are getting priced out. I know that all of you believe in affordable housing. You couldn't be in this race if you didn't. So that's a given, right? But from the dais, if you do get elected and possibly reelected, there's a very good chance you will be reelected.
You're gonna have to start campaigning almost immediately. No, once you do get elected.
That's correct. But what real policies from the dais as a city council person will you really work on to keep families in their homes and keep renters from having to bounce around and move out of the area out to the county?
Well, do you want me to go first?
Sure, go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. Once again, we have to push for these under $1 million developments. We're handing out big money to big developers, and they're restructuring entire areas. But what we need to push for these smaller developers so we can get that local grocery store. We need grants that support local. So we're enhancing these communities, but at the same time, we're not making so much change that we're taking away the cultural identity from an area and forcing the people out of that neighborhood. Gentrification is a real thing, and it's a scary thing, and a lot of people feel the fear of that. I've experienced it myself in Ybor City, you know, and I like I said, I feel like it's a perfect example of what we're seeing citywide. So you need somebody at the table that truly understands that wants to push for these smaller developments, that wants to push for tenants' rights because we can't have rent protection, and just keep it in the forefront of the conversation that people are struggling in our city.
Thank you, Tom DeGeorge. Nia, you are up next. Nia Young.
Yes, Nia Young. Yes, Nia Young. So, I know we have the homeowner occupied program. So, continuing to fund those programs, that's how people are able to stay in their homes. You have a lot of either people who are disabled or seniors or who live alone. They can't necessarily take care of their homes. So, making sure that they have resources so that, you know, if they need to get a roof, if they need, you know, to have their lawn mowed or get, you know, the AC repaired or a window fixed, that they're able to get those things done. And that they can keep their homes. Also, continuing to fund the first-time homebuyer programs, and even, you know, if there's a credit repair or a way to you know, make sure that once it's time for you to purchase a home, you have gotten your credit into a place, because you know that's an important factor when you're purchasing your home. Also, DeGeorge was saying, making it easier for the small-scale developers. There are local developers in the area who are intentional and want to make a housing affordable. So remove that red tape so that they can actually go out and do this work instead of giving the millions of dollars to someone that is out of state that is, you know, may purchase the land, they get their money, and then they're gone. Just make it easier for us.
All right. Thank you, Nia Young. Joanna Colbert?
Yes. First and foremost, we can't buy our way. Local government, we don't have enough money to buy our way out of this situation. So I believe we have to do what has been done successfully in other communities, and that is public-private partnerships. We have to work more with private business in order to get things done. I support continuing to fund all of the programs that was just mentioned, rehab programs, first-time homebuyer programs. I utilize first-time homebuyer programs when I bought my first home, so that's something that I'm very passionate about. And then allowing our local developers to be the developers of the affordable housing, and then not recreating the wheel. Supporting our infill lot program, we have city-owned lots and buildings that we can rehab and repurpose more immediately in order to be able to accommodate the housing and affordable housing shortage. And then making the programs easier to apply for. The programs are there to get the money out into the community. Why are we bottlenecking those programs? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Joanna Colbert. We appreciate you abiding by the time. Jose Vasquez.
Well, Jose Vasquez, you're writing candidate. I'm in this race because that's the problem we got right now in the city of Tampa. And let me tell you this. I started with supporting the local nonprofits. You know, I need to create a bank of talent. Okay, that could be the consultants of the whole city council. You know what I'm saying? They better know the communities than anybody here, including the people who are running for public office. I can say clear to you, if I want to keep the people inside the house, I need to look out the Mooney Code, reshape the co-enforcement department, because the people losing the houses because co-enforcement. We're losing properties because in the way the department who dealing with the business license and approval issue the permits, you know what I'm saying? It's not fair if you coming to open a business, a local business, they put you a lot of insurance regulations and a big development coming, and they got it more easier.
Thank you, Jose Vasquez. Tom Scott, wrap up this question.
Yeah, one of the things we have to understand, being a city council, the mayor administration controls a lot of the contracts and development with the approval of city council. One of the things that we can add in there, again, to deal with the community benefit agreement, to make sure there's language and things in there to really enhance keeping residents in that particular area, in that neighborhood. The other thing, keep in mind, you have 8 CRAs that are doing extremely well. Now, the East Tampa one, I put in place the CAC, gave them the power to be able to determine and say how they want those monies to be spent. Where they wanted to go in terms of affordable housing, economic development, job opportunity. And so they can put in their agreement something that will strengthen retention of housing and homeowners for existing residents and to enhance the current programs that they have in place. I think that's is an area that we really should look at. And by the way, East Tampa now is updating at 80% complete for redoing their CRA update. 2 years ago, they updated the strategic plan. They're now actually doing the CRA.
Thank you, Tom Scott. And I'll be the historian here today. Sandy Friedman, Mayor Sandy Friedman, back in the 90s, had the Mayor's Challenge Fund, which was a public-private partnership working with banks and nonprofits and built hundreds of homes occupied typically by first-time home buyers. All right, who's up next? Mitch Perry.
Okay, so this is a quality of life question here. The city of Tampa is about to begin a year-long study that could lead to changes to the city's noise ordinance. Do you think that ordinance needs tweaking? Why or why not?
Let's see. Okay, Jose, you want to start with that?
Sure. Thank you for the question. It's ridiculous in the way they want to do this because we already got city ordinance noises on place. And no matter what the city of Tampa tried to do, the state of Florida already approved new laws about the noise on communities, you know. Now it's so sad we got right here our friend DeGeorge who wanted pushing the conch ban on the Pearl Harbor Park, right? Guess what? The people don't go to approve it if we're talking about noise regulations. Why? Because inside the district number 5. Well, you got other areas, okay, they approve that kind of project. So, you know, this about noise, I think it's going to be a waste of time because it's already put in place. What they need to be is more consistent about why a new development put 2,000 apartments in a bar next door. The bar was here supporting the community first and pay taxes. So, you know.
All right, Tom DeGeorge, your name was mentioned. You get 15 seconds on the rebuttal, and I'll let you answer the question after that.
Well, it's not really a rebuttal. I know what Jose's talking about. He's talking about that I want to help revitalize the band shell. And he's absolutely right. Noise ordinances can cause a real problem with that, but I would try to work with the city to educate them on those type of things. Now, do you want my answer?
How do you think about the possibility of revising the noise ordinance?
Okay.
Seems to come up every 5 years anyway.
We have, every 5 years, we have gone back and forth with the noise ordinance in circles and circles over and over again. And most times, noise ordinances aren't actually based on the music that comes out of local businesses. They're racially motivated noise ordinances that want to restrict certain things from happening in entertainment districts or in certain communities. So, you know, that's where I think I could be of real value to city council, because working in this industry for years, being still in charge of the entire Southeast United States for the National Independent Venue Association, I see the noise ordinances from cities all over the country, and I see what works and I see what doesn't. Our noise ordinance that's in place is already flawed, but they've never had a noise ordinance that's truly been effective in the first place. So that's the kind of knowledge I want to bring to the table. I want to be able to sit down and come up with a real plan that actually supports our local businesses. What they're trying to do in St. Pete right now, I can't wait to get my teeth on that because it's ridiculous, and I'll go over there and help them too.
All right. Thank you, Tom DeGeorge. Which way are we going?
Let's go with Bishop Scott.
Tom Scott.
Yeah. I think it's always good to be able to review your current. In fact, I'm suggesting that we should review all of our ordinances and see whether they impede or enhance development, growth, and residents. So it's always good to review ordinances and resolutions and so forth. So I clearly support that, the review of that. I think, though, when you look at it in terms of where they're looking at, South Tampa always had an issue, you know, with noise. You remember all the clubs and so, Soho. Right, that's right. Soho, And now you got, you know, Ybor City, you have the Channel side. So it's important to review them and get current information. Also, by the way, the EPC, Environment Protection Commission, which I served on as a county commissioner, is very much involved there. When we created the outdoor stadium at the Fair Authority, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Then it became a big lawsuit.
Yeah, right. And we had to put up sound barriers. We had to put up sound barriers all the way. We made the developer do that, put up sound barriers all the way around so that it did not take away from the community or distract from the community. So there are things that you can do. It's just a matter of just looking at it and understanding what the cost is going to be. Yeah.
All right. Joanna, question on noise ordinance.
Noise, that's a interesting subject. Noise is going to happen, right? And I think whatever it takes to support our small businesses, that is the heartbeat of our community. And so looking at the ordinances and making sure they make sense, yes, I'm agreeable to supporting our small businesses and making sure that they are able to grow and to prosper and to thrive in our community. The answer is yes, I'm in support of that as well. So I think just really looking at it, and in our comp plan, that all has to intertwine as well. So if there's the future land use, if that area is for entertainment, then people that are moving around are going to know it's going to be noise. And so I think that is bringing common sense to our community and to how we function as government. And that's my take on it.
Okay. And finally, wrapping up that, that was Joanna Colbert, excuse me. Nia Young.
I lived in D.C. for some time, and I don't know if anyone's familiar.
30 Club.
There was an issue with residents in the area and the drummers. And if you've been in D.C. and live there for some time, you know, it's like that's the heart of the city. You know, it's the drummers when you're walking down the street. Difficult conversations have to be had all the time, and that's just part of the job. And I think that is what happens when you make sure that everyone is collaborating, working together so that we could come out with the best outcome. I agree, you know, maybe we need to go back and look at the ordinance. There's no harm in going over and looking at it. We can go and look and see. Maybe we need to approach it with better eyes, maybe, you know, be more innovative with how we're addressing the noise issues. But I think a conversation and just going over it is not a bad thing to do, and then we make the best decision for our businesses, our owners, and the residents that are in the area.
Okay.
Thank you.
In regard to noise, two things. One thing is one size does not fit all, right, in my opinion. Right. And then lastly, right, an ordinance is only as good as the people that enforce it.
Right.
All right, that's all I got on that. Ray, what's
so
up? We're running out of time.
We are running out of time here on WMNF Tampa. Thank you. This is wrapping up a two-hour special candidate form here for the special election in District 5. The second group of candidates here, Thomas Scott, Thomas DeGeorge Jr., Nia Young, Joanna Colbert, and Jose Figueroa in the studio with us. You have 10 seconds to answer this question. I'm going to start to my left, Bishop Scott. What is your single most favorite thing to eat in District 5?
Soul food.
Where do you get it?
I go to Mr. B's.
There you okay. go. Tom DeGeorge.
Tom, single most favorite thing to eat in District 5?
I mean, I'm a pescatarian, man. I cook a lot. It's hard to find good fish.
Eating the Versagi shrimp. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Versagi shrimp.
Okay.
Nia Young.
This is hard because I am a foodie and I love to eat food. I will say just Palm Avenue Sandwich Shop and La Segunda are my go-tos, and I can walk from work and go straight, you know, get my
Thank
recipe.
You. Joanna Colbert.
Anything that doesn't involve me cooking, I do not cook. I go to every business in District 5, but a few of my favorites are outside barbecue. I go to 7th and Grove. I go to Las Chapos. There's a lot, but I like to support small business.
All right, Jose Vasquez.
Well, it's going to be rare to say I'm Hispanic, so everybody thinking I love Hispanic food, but really it's more than pastas, and my favorite local restaurant is Salem.
Awesome.
All right, okay, thank you. Right, Ray, on. Take us out.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much to all the listeners, all the emailers. Sorry we couldn't take your calls today. This has been a two-hour special between Down and Dirty and The Skinny. It's Tampa District 5 special election for city council. You can get your mail-in ballot now. Early voting is going to start on the 4th. The election ends on Election Day, September 9th. Thomas Scott, Tom DeGeorge, Naya Young, Juana Colbert, Jose Vasquez, Figueroa, Elvis Pigott at the top half, along with Daryl Dudney, Carol West, Carrie West, Audette Bruce, Ariel, Amira Danley, Allison A. Hugh, and Albert Cook. Thank you so much for making time to be with our listeners today.
Very great job being here.
And you know what? This race is most likely going to go to a runoff, so we will probably see two of you again. Thank you so much for tuning in to WNF Tampa. Thank you to the station for supporting this platform. Thank you to all the listeners. And we'll be back next week. John, you'll be here at 10.
Down and we'll dirty, 10 11. O'clock.
Just going to get back to the regular programming.
Appreciate
but
you
we
guys.
We look forward to having you guys
you
back.
You guys wrote some great questions. I had nothing to do with it.
You did a great job. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us, Ray. Plug our 828 fundraiser for WNF at Crowbar.
There is a WMNF concert.